Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Martha Doris is the Deputy Associate Administrator in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies.
The web world is not leveraging what the contact center world has to offer. If they start integrating across government, we could look at providing more of the basic answers to questions more centrally so that agencies could spend their limited resources on the more difficult questions that are program specific.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Continuing congressional coverage is brought to you by United Technologies, trusted to carry you to the top of the world's tallest skyscrapers, across oceans and into space. More at utc.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ray Musulmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President of Business Development for a company called GCE Federal. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Great. We got a big, big, huge topic today, so I hope you got a lot of coffee because this is a huge, big topic. The big topic today is big data. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done hundreds of shows here. We talk about the cloud this, the cloud that, the private cloud, the personal cloud, the hybrid cloud, cloud washing, cloud...
Ray, cloud, is it, you cloud
get,
nine.
I get sick of it, you know what I mean? Okay, now, I thought we'd have a little twist on this and say, well, what does a cloud handle? It handles data. Well, let's talk about big data and, mm-hmm. and how big data works in the cloud. But before we begin... Got an interesting accent here, Ray. Perhaps for our listeners' benefit, you can tell them about your background and how you worked, how you wound up running GCE Federal.
Yeah, so I came from Israel in 1981, right out of high school, and this is indeed the land of opportunity. You work hard, you can accomplish a lot. So came here and went to school for engineering. And came out, worked for a company for about 10 years, and then I decided that I can serve customers a lot better if I can construct my own company, and we've been at it since then for about 10 years now.
You're all successful. And Mayor, your background, please.
Yes, I have a long career in technology marketing, was at a technology marketing consulting company for about 10 years, been at GCE about 7 years, and leading a lot of innovation at GCE and getting out the cloud message. And we've been very successful of late of really helping to sort of change the way the federal government approaches technology.
That's a challenge in of itself, and I mm-hmm. think this is one of the challenges we want to talk about today is just this whole concept of the cloud and the amount of information. I think everyone will admit, if you look at companies like Facebook, the amount of data has just exploded. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I think of data explosion traditionally, I think in terms of meteorologists, you know, let's say you're in Oklahoma and you're going to Oklahoma University and you're studying tornadoes, all right. kinds of information, a lot of mathematical information. And that traditionally was big data. But today, many federal agencies have to deal with data as well, don't they?
Correct.
Big data.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at federal agencies and their need to look through financial data, what would it be like if I could comb through 20, 30 years of detailed financial transactions and be able to devise trends, to do analysis, and to do it all with consumer level expectations? The same way that somebody goes on Google and does lookups and searches, and you expect answers to come back immediately. You don't expect to wait hours. What would it be like if we can put all this data together, financial, procurement, and a bunch of other data, and be able to ask questions in real time, such that analysis becomes a tool in the hands of federal managers, as opposed to asking for a report and waiting 2 days to get a report, and asking for the next thing and waiting another week.
It's deriving deep insight into data, which is a challenge, I think, for everyone.
Absolutely.
Now, Mayor, traditionally, if I would describe this situation to you for the last 5 or 6 years, you might talk about data warehousing or business intelligence. But there's kind of been a transition to new ways of describing this massive data.
Yeah, and I think part of the transition is a little bit what Ray referenced. You know, people traditionally would think of a data set being related to a discrete business process or a discrete area. You know, with the big data, you're able to marry different types of data. Ray gave the example of procurement data with financial data. But you can see that the federal government has so many different types of data and different sources, and it's really hard to get a big picture view of it. And so, you know, BI and data warehouses were sort of traditionally kept in a program area, an area. This sort of opens that up. And as Ray said, in the opening of it, you have to be able to get to that data. You need a set of analytical tools that can help you explore it. And that's where big data really comes in and makes it different from a BI sort of traditional data warehousing approach.
You know, Ray, I mentioned Facebook earlier, mm-hmm. but in July of this year, Facebook announced that now they're juggling 30 petabytes of information.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
There are people listening who may understand how big that is. Maybe the people up at NASA understand that. Maybe the physicists who are listening understand that. But 30 petabytes, that's unconceivable. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I know. So people like Facebook are ingesting about several terabytes of data a day. All the user traffic that's coming in. It's unbelievable in terms of what we used to think just a few years ago. So the explosion has been massive, and the challenge is how do you process massive quantities of data and still give people the user experience that they expect and need. Nobody expects Facebook, because now they process over 500 million users a day and have a whole bunch of data, to wait for a status update that takes 2 minutes. People expect still the same consumer level behavior with this amount of data that Facebook has now as when they were smaller. And so the consumer level expectation is still here, and the technology behind the scenes has to evolve to accommodate that.
And Mayor, let's not forget that the consumer who is trying to find out if John Gilroy had a bagel for breakfast might also want to consume information from an agency. And so an agency may have to handle large amounts of information similar to Facebook about perhaps medical records,
right,
or perhaps about veterans benefits. And so my listeners are not really working for Facebook, but kind of in a way they have massive amounts of information and trying to provide that for end users. And that's the business challenge or the business problem, to state at the beginning of the conversation here. The business problem, lots of information. Does big data mean big headaches?
Right. Well, I think you hit on a really interesting point. You know, if you look at the movement in the federal government over the last, you know, 5 or so years, it's been a transparency movement. You're seeing a lot of that, particularly in the contracting transparency information about grant spending. You know, they're looking to extend that into the financial systems. And then, like you said, other things with healthcare information, all kinds of different data. And there's a large movement in the federal government to bring transparency to that data. And Ray points out that's really not a easy thing for an agency to solve on its own. It's a massive capital investment to go and buy all this servers and all the upgrades and everything that goes around it to do on your own. And you really, that's where this big data cloud comes in. It allows you to get to some of that solution without having to make all that big capital investment themselves.
So we have a problem here. Big data equals big headaches. And we have agencies that may collect information from mobile devices or information from aerial surveying or software logs. Oh, that's
exactly.
Always fun. RFID. Mm-hmm. So now many of the amounts of information we're dealing with is beyond the capability of common software tools. So that's the differentiator.
Right.
So
right.
There's lots and lots of data, and then you cross the line into big data with mm-hmm. the inability of the current tools to manipulate that data. Is that the differentiator?
Well, absolutely. Like industry pioneers like Google, like Yahoo, like Facebook had to create technologies over the last six to eight, nine years to be able to deal with massive quantities of data. So technologies were created, and the basic premise that you will construct a large cluster of servers, some in the hundreds and sometimes in the thousands. And essentially break up the large set of data into small chunks that you will put on each one of those servers and create technologies that will distribute processing among hundreds and thousands of servers and then aggregate answers very, very quickly and give answers back to the end user. And so the capital investment, as you can imagine, the capital investment goes much beyond the ability of any particular organization to go out and buy just half a dozen servers to solve the regular data needs. The investment now is in buying thousands and thousands of servers. And imagine the money required to do all that, and all the maintenance headaches and the management headaches. So if they, in my mind, in the minds of many people, if there was ever a case for the cloud, big data gives you a very compelling business case on for the cloud, because the investment otherwise is huge.
More information, you can go to gcefederal.com. We're talking about one aspect of cloud computing, and that is handling and managing big data. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Ray Musulmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President of Business Development, local company called GCE Federal.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Army is preparing to publish a new set of standards that will dictate what technology is allowed to operate on its network. Officials say the integrated network baseline will let the service do a better job of keeping up with the technology cycle by adopting common, open standards without dictating precisely what technologies they'll allow. The Army also plans to require any vendors who want to participate in its huge network integration evaluation to comply with the baseline.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk@FederalNewsRadio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, Bill Bransford hosts a two-part show to learn about the latest with two organizations, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund and Young Government Leaders.
Please join Jim Fliesack on Tuesday, November 1st at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This panel will focus on trusted identities and identity management efforts in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from NIST, VA, and OSD. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Tuesday, November 1st at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by Deloitte and Booz Allen Hamilton.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
18 months after the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act became the impetus behind health IT by providing incentives for meaningful use in electronic health records, agencies are faced with the difficult task of cutting spending while delivering affordable health care. Federal roundtables at AFSEA Bethesda's Health IT Day, November 2nd at the Mayflower Renaissance Hotel in D.C., will explore how to accomplish this mission through the use of IT. Register today, AFSEABethesda.org/HealthITDay.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Talking about big data today. Is it a big problem or not? Maybe it's a big opportunity. We have Ray Musulmani in the studio here. He's the president and CEO of a company called GCE Federal and his partner in crime, Mara Lucas, vice president, business development. Well, I'm going to get a chair thrown at me at this one. You know, I tell people I have three sisters. They can all beat me in a fight. They're just going to whoop me after this show, you know.
You already know us too well.
Oh, boy, don't I know that, you know, and scared already. Well, in the break, we mentioned a funny word, and there are some listeners who know this funny word, and some listeners may scratch their head and go, well, geez, maybe this John got hit in the head too many times, or is in one too many bar fights, and the word is Hadoop. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at the last 10 years, you see maybe 8 or 9 years ago, people started hitting the ceiling with big data, and so a solution presented itself, and one possible solution, Apache is a very, very popular web server, and there's a project popped out of Apache called Hadoop, and maybe for the benefit of our listeners, Hadoop is not something you'd order in an Afghan restaurant, or maybe it's not a new trending shoe style or something that my wife would bring home. Well, so what exactly is Hadoop?
So Hadoop is the open source technology that really implements big data on the scale that we're talking about before. So Google, before Hadoop came along, Google really invented the platform to do big data on. Then someone at Yahoo picked up the Google spec and Google design for that and pioneered the open source version of that. And so that was created a few years ago. And then that was put under the auspices of Apache, and the tool is really taken off. The community around it is huge. The number of people contributing to it is really large, and the tool as a whole is just taken off. All kinds of people now use it.
It's almost like Linux for big stuff, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
Seems like that. There's a quote from Forrester, a gentleman named James Kobelius. And he says, quote, Hadoop, H-A-D-O-O-P, Hadoop will be the nucleus of next generation data warehouses. What a statement that is.
Well, absolutely. And I think in many cases it is already. It's very hard to manage large scale amounts of data without having Hadoop or something like Hadoop. So with the size of data going to the scale that we've been talking about, it's not really feasible to do it any other way. And because it is open source, and because to try to buy a proprietary tool and scale it over hundreds of servers is something that's very costly to do, most people gravitate towards Hadoop because it does what you need it to do, and it's free.
So, Mayor, let's leave the studio, walk up the road to the Microsoft office, about 4 miles up the road here, same side of the road, and walk in there and start talking Hadoop. What would their reaction be? Will their reaction be competitor? Will they use them? Or how do they view something like Hadoop?
Well, you know, I think Ray brought it up well. You know, there's a long history in the open source world of people coming together in an open source community and really, you know, moving something forward. You mentioned Linux earlier. You know, there's a long history of that. You know, companies that are the traditional software providers, you know, aren't necessarily part of that model. You know, whether or not they might have to adopt something like this internally to get this sort of performance and scale that Ray's referring to, they probably would, I would imagine, at some point. But the beauty of this Hadoop technology is that it sort of is coming from a community, and that community always spurs growth. It moves things forward. And Ray mentioned, you know, it is an open source technology. One of GCE's sort of core beliefs is to try and give really cost savings to the federal government, not things that just sound nice, but literally demonstrate how you can bring down the cost by, you know, 30-40% right off the top. And when you bring these powerful open source tools that have a huge community to the government, you can really start giving not just being able to handle big data, but doing big data in a very, very cost-effective manner through these open-source tools.
You know, Ray, if you grab a typical agency, they have to juggle all kinds of data. Maybe it's public available data, maybe it's agency data, perhaps it's even proprietary data. We've had the FBI in here. We've had the CIA. We have all the folks in here. And so I have proprietary data. You got to be careful with it. And some of this information is structured. Some of it's unstructured. I mean, this really presents a problem. And Hadoop is a solution that maybe has a good first stab at trying to derive this deep insight into this massive information.
Oh yeah, Hadoop is an incredibly flexible tool. It's a technology stack with many tools to be able to digest any kind of data that you know that you want, with the emphasis on massive quantities of data, and to be able to solve all kinds of problems. And so it's not geared towards solving one kind of problem. It's a general purpose. A big data stack that would allow you to solve your own problem with it. It's a platform that leaves a lot of flexibility to an agency based on their business needs, based on their business domain, to do with it what they want, which is just amazing.
GCE Federal has been around for, 10, 12 years?
Mm-hmm.
And they've earned a great reputation. Many agencies, Coast Guard, GSA, TSA, I mean, it's the whole laundry list of agencies right. that have benefited from your services, seem to be mostly in the financial area. But what I'm pulling away from this conversation is that you're taking the financial information and say, yeah, well, let's take this to the next level. Let's abstract this. And this financial information is going to have deep effects in other parts of the agency, and we may or may not understand what impact it'll have, but perhaps not using a different hammer, maybe using a buzzsaw would give us insight into how this financial information is going to impact someone who is only partially related to this agency's project.
Absolutely. You see, we've never had the opportunity so far to pull data from many agencies and pull it at a fairly detailed level and do analysis with it in real time. We're just embarking on that kind of trend within the federal government with the advent of these kind of tools. You now have the opportunity to pull together massive quantities of data, say in financial management, and derive the kind of insight that you just could not get before.
You know, one of the technology leaders from Apple died, and he's famous for saying is that consumers don't know what they want. We build it and we offer it to them. And right. I think that's what maybe there are people in the agency scratching their head with not knowing what type of deep information they need. Let me give an example here. They did a study on Twitter and they looked at personalities and moods of people and time of day. And they found out that someone in China may have the same kind of personality profile as someone in Paraguay or someone in Topeka, because humans are humans. And they never been able to derive this information because they never had the ability to manipulate that much large information. When Ray, that's what Hadoop gives GCE and federal agencies, is ability to actually maybe take a look at not necessarily light things like social services, but heavy financial, maybe even defense information.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, simple stuff. What are agencies spending their money on? What kind of programs? Are there opportunities for efficiency? Are there opportunities for cost saving? Until you really mine this data, you know, at a fairly detailed level, and be able to have a tool that allows you to ask a question, get an answer, ask another question, get an answer, so you can iterate on the problem and use it as a real-time analysis tool, it's very difficult to derive insight, for example, by submitting a question and waiting a week and then get an answer, and then think of the next thing to do. Imagine what you do with Google. You go on Google and you try to find something. You must ask 40, 50 questions in one session. And Google gives you the answer very, very quickly over massive quantities of data. So you're able to use it as a real-time tool. The federal government doesn't have that yet. And I think the world will be different once people have those kind of analysis tool over large quantities of data.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, talk more about big, big data and organizations the size of Yahoo, Amazon, Facebook, huge, big organizations manipulate a lot of data. Guess what? Folks in the federal government manipulating just as much data and maybe more. They're probably sitting on a whole lot more information than they even realize. Today we're talking about big data, some opportunities and challenges, and how to figure out where the outliers really are. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ray Musulmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President, Business Development for a local company called GCE Federal.
To the Marines who watch over the skies, it says the enemy can't see you. To the Marines who carry out their mission on the ground, it says I have your back. To adversaries, it says don't even think about it. It is the F-35B, The fifth generation multi-role fighter jet that combines short takeoff and vertical landing capability with supersonic speed and radar evading stealth. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go. Wherever the mission takes them, our Marines know it will be there. It's the F-35B, a fighter jet that can take off and land virtually anywhere, from the most remote, austere airfields and roads to modern ships. That means it can be based close to frontline combat, shrinking the distance between base and target. For the Marines and for our nation, that's a game-changing advantage. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go.
Government technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2011, the new trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd, featuring nearly 100 leading manufacturers and solutions providers showcasing the latest in audio video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies. GovCom will help government agencies and the military boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. GovCom is your opportunity to see cutting-edge communications products, network with fellow technology professionals, and get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit GovCom2mshow.org and use the code FED. That's govcomshow.org. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the association representing the audiovisual industry.
The Caps take on Southeast Division rivals, the Florida Panthers, on Tuesday, October 18th. The Caps are off to a good start, defeating two division rivals to begin the season. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up and always have a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. The Caps have sold out over 100 straight games at Verizon Center, and tickets are extremely limited, so make sure you get yours. Call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singletix and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
AT&T's commitment is clear. That's why we're announcing that with the planned merger with T-Mobile, AT&T will begin bringing 5,000 jobs to America from overseas. We will invest $8 billion more and deploy the next generation of wireless broadband to nearly everyone in America. This investment will create as many as 96,000 American jobs. We're ready to invest in America. AT&T.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Head up to the Woods Resort. That's about 90 minutes away in West Virginia. You can check out the changing leaves up there in the mountains and stay two nights and get the third night free. You can enjoy golf and all kinds of other activities or relax in the spa at the Woods. You can find out all the details on page 9 of the October Recreation News.
What else is good for fall?
Sure. How about a scenic train ride? You know, that's something that's gotten more and more popular around the Mid-Atlantic, and this is really prime time to do it. We have a whole roundup of regional scenic trains that are great ways to see the fall foliage. You can choose from Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, and Delaware and make your reservation for a ride that the whole family can enjoy.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, live in the studio, we have Ray Musselmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President of Business Development of a local company called GCE Federal. For more information, you can go on over to gcefederal.com. They've been in business about 12, 15 years, have made their mark in the area of finance, but I think what they're doing now is they're looking at exactly some of where the information for finance is stored, and maybe there's a better way to skin a cat. Maybe there's a better way to develop deep insights into massive amounts of information. Ray, ask about some changes here, and, you know, getting people to change and move is always difficult. If you take a look at the data warehousing and business intelligence, taking that and making that transition to big data, usually there's some major issues involved, you know, dealing with human beings, whether in the federal government, or whether with Amazon or whether with Yahoo. Mm-hmm. You know, there may not be business sponsorship. There may not be budget to make this change. Mm-hmm. What about governance? How does this fit in with enterprise architecture? To explore some of these challenges here and how my listeners maybe can wrestle with these numbers and get some of that deep insight.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm finding actually a lot of receptiveness these days to change in the business model, the budget realities and the federal government being what it is the last year or so, have really spurred on maybe by necessity a different mode of thinking. I'm talking to my customers, and the number one question that they're asking: how can I do my job with less money? And so, for example, going to big data in the cloud and being able to save a federal agency the price tag of investing in large amounts of hardware, large amounts of management of this hardware, and then laying Hadoop and Lucene and other technologies on top of it and making it all work, saving them all that is something that I'm finding people, more and more people in the federal government are actually asking for as opposed to resisting. Which is a different mode of behavior than, say, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. Mayor, let me ask you a question just about human beings and resistance and change. From your perspective and the federal IT professionals you've dealt with, do they even realize that this big data is all of a sudden on them? It's like, you know, we've seen this big tsunami of mobile phones, but the other tsunami is with information, maybe derived from mobile phones. How have federal IT professionals reacted to this, and what has been their acceptance or rejections of this concept of managing big data?
Yeah, I think Ray, you know, made a couple good points. One thing is that people realize that there is all this data there, but it's really hard for an agency to get the funding and to have, like you said, the executive sponsorship to start this all from scratch. And that's been sort of the problem the federal government with our legacy of financial systems. Building them from scratch doesn't work. And building something like this with this type of performance and infrastructure from scratch just doesn't work. So it's really a nice sort of meeting of the two worlds right now. The agencies know all the data they're sitting in. They know this big transparency movement out there. And it's really hard to ramp that up quickly internally. You know, you bring the cloud in, and kind of, I always talk about that it lets you to leapfrog. The mother, may I take a giant leapfrog? You can sort of leapfrog past that whole building it, getting the money for it, and just go straight to a solution. And like Ray said, you know, every time we talk to somebody, there are major cost savings in here, you know, on the magnitude of, you know, 20-30% easily cost savings in the model. So like Ray said, you know, change is hard, but the budget reality and the sort of leapfrogging has forced people into it.
Ray, I want to ask maybe a more technical question here. Amazon's not the only player out there. Mm-hmm. LexisNexis is a player. They have a system that enhances parallel processing mm-hmm. of data, mm-hmm. High performance for data yep. querying. It's called HPCC. Mm-hmm. Well, how come this consultant, James Kobelius, didn't say HPCC is going to be in the future? I mean, is this just a proprietary system for LexisNexis? I'm certain the folks at Microsoft aren't sleeping on this. Perhaps they have proprietary ways of manipulating large amounts of data.
Well, and that is true. The big issue is, can you really afford it? Can an organization afford a proprietary solution because of the scale? The key word here is scale. I can afford anything if it sits on 4 or 5 servers. Can I afford it? I have to scale it to hundreds of servers. The answer for the vast majority of organizations is that I cannot afford it. It's a simple equation. The thing I could afford if I had little data that can fit on a few servers is one way to think about it. But when you go to hundreds and potentially thousands of boxes buying all these software licenses, it becomes just a prohibitive thing for organizations to do, whether they're federal or whether they're on the commercial side.
There are conferences, Mayor, and there are big data conferences with vendors that I've never heard of, Cloudera. I mean,
yes.
Where did they come from? They came from nowhere. Yeah. But we also see organizations like EMC2 saying, well, we've got this green plum. It looks like the big companies have figured out that there's a problem here, and maybe there's a way to address it. Have you seen any companies? A lot of these companies seem like they're from the West Coast and doing a lot of commercial projects. What companies do you see working in this area for the federal government, Mayor?
Well, that's interesting. I've always pitched ourselves as Silicon Valley East, right here outside of Washington, D.C., because, you know, we are a technology innovation company. We happen to sit here and we've done it, you know, for the federal government. I think you're right. I think you see the bigger players, you know, traditionally come to the game a little bit later because they don't have quite the innovation that come from smaller firms like us and some of the Silicon Valley friends that we have. And so you see the big players come into it. Obviously, it's a large market, so there's a lot of opportunity. And we've always viewed this as competition is healthy for everybody. You know, we are a service provider. The cloud is about service. You know, having competition is better for the government, lowers price, make sure you deliver greater value. But like you said, I think you're seeing that some of us have already been here for a while now and have mature services that we can offer. Some of the bigger players are trying to sort of acquire or market their way into the world.
Ray, I'm going to give you a challenging question here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
We don't have a whiteboard here, but I'm sure you work with a lot of people who love to use whiteboards. Mm-hmm. In fact, indeed. The guys I work with, they wouldn't live without a whiteboard.
Right.
Give us a verbal whiteboard of, I had to, since maybe 2005, 2006. It started off as just an idea, but if you get your whiteboard out there, all of a sudden there are a lot of aspects of managing data that have sprung out of Hadoop, haven't there? All kinds of different things.
Right. Yeah. So there is the basic infrastructure of Hadoop that would allow you to ingest large quantities of data and be able to answer questions on this data fairly quickly. Another piece of the puzzle is a transactional database called HBase, HBase. That will give you essentially a transactional processing database on top of Hadoop, which allows you to do what many of the transactional databases out there in industry do today, which is record transactions, lookup transactions, but you do it on a massive scale. That's essentially how Facebook is able to manage 500-600 million users and pull up all the status updates and record the status updates in real time, etc. And then another good piece of the puzzle is a search technology called Lucene that allows you to for the most part do what Google Search does, not at the same level of sophistication, but largely search do unstructured searches of the same kind that Google does.
How has the big dog, IBM, what's the IBM done to Hadoop? Are they incorporating it? Are they fighting it? Are they co-opting it?
I can tell you that IBM is a huge supporter of Hadoop. In fact, on that supercomputer, I don't know if you watch Jeopardy a few weeks ago when somebody was competing with the IBM computer. And what IBM and Yahoo announced a few days later that really Hadoop won. Because Hadoop was the engine in Watson answering all these questions faster than the humans can.
Well, we have to go back to the Washington Post and rewrite the press release on who won that one. Huh? I always thought it was the IBM computer that won, or maybe it was the people who programmed the computer. Oracle is another big player in here. Are they fighting it? Are they incorporating Hadoop? Or what's their position with that? Do you know much about Oracle?
Well, yeah, we're having to know an awful lot about Oracle. I'd say that there is a movement at a minimum to play along Hadoop, to not resist and fight it, but see if you can integrate with it and together offer a more powerful suite of tools to the end user. So I wouldn't say that Oracle is bought completely into Hadoop. I think there is a movement to play along with it and play nicely with it.
You know, you're an award winner for a 2010 Cloud Innovator of the Year. There are people who are looking at Oracle and saying, well, they don't even understand the cloud. What do you say, Ray? Do they understand the cloud? Maybe they don't. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, talk more about cloud computing and big data. Talk about this strange word called Hadoop. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ray Musulmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President Development, a local company called GCE Federal.
Federal employees are generous people, donating tens of millions of dollars to charities every year through the combined federal campaign. And while it can be tough to choose which organization should benefit from your gift, there's only one that exclusively helps federal employees and their families: the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. For over 25 years, FEA, CFC number 11185, has helped feds recover from financial emergencies and natural disasters and provided their kids with college scholarships. FEA 11185 has been the best choice for feds who want to keep their CFC donation in the family by helping colleagues across the country and around the world as they do America's business every day. In the last 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. Making your pledge to FEA 11185 today will make sure help continues to be there no matter what the coming year brings for feds. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Tradition never graduates. Come spend a day in Annapolis with your family, friends, and Navy football. See the midshipmen in their homecoming game versus the East Carolina Pirates Saturday, October 22nd at 3:30 p.m. Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, presented by Verizon Wireless. Join us and experience a game day atmosphere like no other. Buy your tickets today for the Navy homecoming game and see the Mids take on East Carolina October 22nd at 3:30 p.m. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
Hey, Lucas.
Hello, Angie. You ready for dinner?
Yeah. Hey, is that a new radio for your ride?
Sure is. Went to Walmart for the Pioneer DEH-44HD with HD radio built in.
HD radio?
HD radio is digital broadcast radio. Digital sound, new channels, no subscription fees.
From Walmart?
Great values there. Only $120 for a Pioneer HD radio receiver.
Forget dinner. Let's get my car and head to Walmart.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has an expansive and varied mission. What is Homeland Security's acquisition strategy? How is DHS enhancing its acquisition oversight? And what is DHS doing to better manage its resources and execute its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan on the next Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ray Musulmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President, Business Development, local company called GCE Federal. For more information about the cloud and about maybe big data, you can go to gcefederal.com. Well, now we got to get serious here, Ray. We got to talk about if you're a real nerd or not. You know, I mean, there are people who are listening. They're saying, "Oh, Mayor sounds normal, but Ray, he could be a real nerd. I mean, he's got this loud voice. He's got this boisterous personality. He's an Israeli. I mean, he must have all kinds of stories." But now we're going to put you on the spot. We're going to give you my patented 10-question nerd test, and I have a scientific nerdometer in front of me. And at the end of this, we'll find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or a nerd wannabe. And Mary's going to participate too. I hope she whoops you. You probably will.
All right.
Okay, Ray, you're your first computer.
1981, a TRS-80 out of Radio Shack.
That's very nerdy. Uh-huh. Okay, Mary, your first computer here?
First real computer, I'll say, was the Mac 128K because it went to Drexel and it was required. Original Mac.
And what year?
1984.
Yeah, he beat you on that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, Ray.
But mine was cooler.
You're your first cell phone, Ray.
I can't remember. In the mid-90s.
Mary, can you beat him on that?
Yeah. Well, I can give you a date, 1994.
Well, but you call that one.
Because I know it coincided with another event. Now, a young child.
Yeah. Ray, your operating system and machines at home?
Windows.
Okay. And Mayor?
We have, I think it's now 6 Macs and 1 lone PC for gaming for a teenage boy.
Winner for Mayor on that one. Okay, now your home connection, anything fancy? Just standard cable, Fios?
Fios, yes.
Okay.
Fios.
Anything fancy your house, Mayor? Any kind of T1 line?
No, can't be there.
Ray, important question. Type of mobile phone you have, what do you have?
Android.
Okay. Ooh. Mayor, what do you have?
iPhone, of course.
Okay. Well,
yes. And my iPad.
The needle is kind of going in her direction
yeah,
here.
I know.
And how many apps do you have on your phone?
I don't have a lot, maybe 10 or 15.
And Mayor, how about you?
5,000.
Yeah, lots.
Ooh,
lots. I mean, you know, I can beat him on a Hadoop scale on
you're,
that one.
You're big data's going
yes.
to you. Okay. Tablet device, iPad, Kindle, anything?
An Android tablet, Samsung.
Samsung, okay. Mm. And you, Mayor?
iPad and Kindle.
Mm. Social networking, Ray, you don't participate in LinkedIn. I know that. Any Facebook, Twitter?
Facebook and Google Plus, baby. Google Plus.
Google Plus.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mayor, for you?
Well, I do the Facebook, and Ray's trying to get me to Google Plus, and I shall have to go to it now so that I don't lose. Yes.
No interesting small nerd networks. That's good.
Yes.
Last question. This is going to be probably the decision point here.
Uh-huh. Ding,
Ray,
ding, ding.
The last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Paper, God.
Paper.
She gave it to me.
Old-fashioned. Mayor, how about you? Last book.
I must admit, I bought us both the Tipping Points. We could go back and read a classic, and it's our book club at work, so I must admit I was old school.
Paper.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I would like to, you know, if $20 bill, turn this towards you.
I think you're both
right in the middle, you know? You're in the medium scale of nerds. I mean, just really kind of, you know, right in there. You're probably in the BB, both about B, B minus category. Not really.
How about first programming language we learned?
No.
Yeah,
we know.
I think myself as a real geek, though.
No, Ray, this is a permanent record now. This is going to go in your file at GCE Federal. You failed. You didn't fail. You just competed. Yeah, it's okay. You didn't drub her mercilessly. You should have.
I know.
You know this
it's
position,
do,
you know.
Man.
Yeah, Mayor's a competitive one. She knows that. Well, going from a frivolous topic to a more serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about big data and grabbing information from different silos and trying to derive deep insight. Now, if you have a bunch of different silos, well, unequivocally, you may have some questions about security. And that's mm-hmm. why I want to bring up here, Ray. Security in the cloud, security in big data, how should it be handled? What are best practices here?
I'd say that security in the cloud allows service providers to really invest heavily in security. So security is a really important topic. But if your business is to provide a cloud solutions, it's also your business to provide a secure cloud solution. So I know that cloud providers take security very seriously as it as it should be taken, and we all work hard at making sure that the data that needs to be secure is secure, and the data that can be more publicly available is also treated that way.
Mayor, from your perspective, do you see the traditional security companies like Symantec, are they have any new products for big data, or is this just something that's maybe it's brand new? Maybe, Ray, you can help us with this. Is it something that's even on their radar?
Yeah, I'd say that the companies that you described really provide security at the desktop level, at those kind of levels. Security in the data center requires the kind of protocols that are publicly available that the service provider has to implement themselves. And so for me to implement security to secure my data, I'm not going to go buy a semantic type tool and secure my data. I need to implement a whole regiment of security protocols to make sure that the data is secure in the data center. The data is secure when it goes out to my users and not be reliant on a particular product. So it's more of a range of tools you have to implement than just one thing.
You know, we have had guests in the studio here, and they do enterprise architecture. And so if later on this afternoon you kind of waltz over someone's office and go, "Hey, I'm Ray. What do you guys think about big data?" Do they just start spitting up, or do they just say, "Oh, no, we figured out big data"? This has to change the whole approach to architecting an environment, doesn't it?
Yes, I think, again, the big driver is I'll give you superior services. I'll give you something that you could not possibly do before for sometimes fraction of the price. And that just changes the entire conversation. The conversation really inherently changes if you say, "I'm going to give you access to something you could not do by yourself at a fraction of the cost." The conversation just is a different conversation.
So from an enterprise architecture standpoint, the value for big data will overcome some of the nuances in structuring and governance. I mean, lack of governance is an issue people have. So it's that forceful. It's that
absolutely
incredible. It's amazing. Well, Mayor, you've obviously been a nerd for many years.
Thank you. I wear it with pride.
And you've seen technology back in the 80s and 90s, and we've seen personal computers and client server and now cloud. And now maybe the clouds are breaking apart or maybe coming together, or maybe it's just a low-lying cloud, which is fog. Where do you see this heading? Where do you go when you start talking about petabytes and talk about terabytes, then exabytes and zettabytes? I mean, how can this even be controlled in the future?
Yeah, well, I think it's just a really interesting time in technology, because you see lots of times where big technology shifts happen. And I think you're seeing the next shift. And like I said, we talk about in terms of people shouldn't have to have a different world when they go home to their tablet or their computer at home, you know, versus their business place. And whether that business place is a federal agency or a corporate business. And this technology shift that we have in front of us is allowing those worlds to meet, because the cost equation has changed so dramatically. And I think that that's going to then make the next leap when you start to equalize these worlds. And, you know, in the technology, we've been talking for such a long time about technology bringing business value. And it only meant something to technology people. But now we put some of these tools that Ray's discussed, you know, the ability for people who are very far away from technology to run a search and ask questions real quickly. Like, this is a brand new thing for these folks. They haven't been able to do this with financial data. They really do live in a world where you get a big report in paper or something. It's a completely different way of looking at your data by being able to go and intuitively ask a question. And then, like Ray said, ask the next question. You can't imagine a world in your personal life where you'd ask a question to Google, go away to dinner, and get your answer back. It's unthinkable. Yeah. So I think that's, and like I said, with all these new technologies like the Hadoops and all the other things you're seeing out there that are allowing you to crunch through data in much smaller footprint and much cheaper, you know, I'm so excited about what it's going to be 5 years from now, because I think it's been an amazing 5 years. And I think we're just in the beginning of this next, you know, I'll use the word paradigm, that's coming out. We're just at the beginning. I'm so excited to see where it goes.
Ray, we just have a couple seconds left here. GCE Federal has been a leader in the area of a lot of financial areas and mass amounts of data. It seems like you're positioning yourself to be able to handle big data for all agencies out there.
Yes, yes. And the technology keeps on changing. So Hadoop today is not going to look like the Hadoop 5 years from now. The amounts of data will keep on exploding, and technology will have to keep up with it. So we all will have to keep up with it, including us.
Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Just had a interview talking about big data, some security concerns, manipulating some new tools, maybe some new verbs and terms like Hadoop you've never heard before. I'd like to thank my guest, Ray Musulmani, President and CEO, and Mayor Lucas, Vice President of Business Development, a company called GCE Federal. Thanks.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
From fiddle and foresters to dolphin trainers, federal employees have some pretty cool jobs. Check out our Cool Jobs in Government series at federalnewsradio.com, search term cool jobs.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story, there's a big celebration in Gaza City. People are cheering.